You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Joe Montana joining us on the program, courtesy of Guinness. How's life, Joe? Joe?
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
I got you now.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Patrick.
How are you doing? Everything good?
Everything's good. How about you?
Good. How many Guinness have you had today?
You know, I put it in my coffee cup and looked so no one would know.
Did you eat on game day, on Super Bowl day?
I ate very little. And there was this thing that had come out while we were playing that if you had a stomach full of food or too empty, you know, it affected, you know, your reaction time. So I tried to eat something like a little piece of steak and maybe some eggs or something, and then get out of there and just enough to keep my stomach busy, but not full. And then take a candy bar or two for halftime. And then I was ready to, I was ready to go.
Bill Russell famously used to throw up before games. I don't know. Did you get nervous where you would throw up?
No, I've never thrown up. That's not been one of my favorite things in the world to do to begin with, but especially before a game. Yeah, I've gotten nervous. I think we all do. And I think if you're not nervous, then you really don't care about your performance.
No, but you're not allowed to be nervous because you're the quarterback. You're Joe Cool. So you can't show that you're nervous, can you?
No, I don't think so. I think that's, you know, I always try to be myself, but I think inside there's always that little butterfly that, you know, you want that little bit of nervousness because I think it shows that you care about what you're about to do, and you know how you play means something. If it didn't really mean anything, you know, then yeah, I'd rather have people a little bit nervous, it affects you. But
would you rather have the lead, but the other quarterback has the ball with 2 minutes to go, or be down and you have the ball with 2 minutes to go?
I'd rather have the ball. I'd rather have the outcome on my hands than anything else. It's just, you know, although we had great defenses, but it's just, I don't know. I want to be part of that. I want to have something to say in the outcome rather than to watch and not have any input. So
how many times do you go to the line of scrimmage and you knew it was going to be a touchdown? In your Super Bowl games?
In some of the cases, yeah, you could just tell by immediate lineup where you were going to go. And then it was just a matter of trying to keep somebody out of a play. And you had ideas that I know was going to be a touchdown in the Super Bowl to win. Not until the ball was snapped and the safety split, and then I knew we had an opportunity.
The one to John Taylor. Now, I'm behind the goalpost when you had the touchdown pass to Jerry, and it was a crossing pattern, and I could see it unfold. So I know you could see it unfold, but it was like, oh, no, that's a touchdown. And you hadn't even thrown the ball yet.
Yeah, you know, as soon as you see that field open up, and actually that was supposed to be a hook, and the hook with man-to-man for us, we had so many adjustments. When you get tight coverage, he just takes it into a cross. And so as soon as you saw that happen, the field just opened up and it was like, oh my God, don't miss him. Just don't miss him.
What's the NFC title game that still bothers you?
The one I got hurt, because we were winning. We had a chance to go, you know, to three in a row.
And that was Leonard Marshall or Jim Burt?
Leonard Marshall, yeah. You know, that and I think the Washington, those two games, you know, because we had won, we thought we had won the Washington. We lost to them, and there was a little phantom holding call on Ronnie Lott on the other side of the field. So it was one of those things where you didn't have control, and, you know, they ended up going down and scoring, and then, you know, they went on to win the Super Bowl. But we had a pretty good team again that year. So
if those, you can start your franchise with anybody but you at quarterback. Alta.
Yeah. I don't know, these two guys playing today would be hard. They're so different. I'd take them both.
You only get one, Joe.
Well, I need a backup.
Steve Young is the backup.
Oh my gosh, they're so different, Dan. You'd have to take Brady, I think. It's hard not to take Mahomes, but if you're looking at records and success, or are you looking at a future? If I'm looking at the future, I take Mahomes. If I'm looking at trying to win now, and you're just starting putting a team together, I take Tom. So different scenarios.
How often have you spoken to Brady?
Last time I spoke to him, we were at the last Super Bowl with the 100th anniversary team.
But is it football talk or just family talk?
That was a little mostly football that time. It's usually a little bit mixed in of both, but most of the time it's all football.
What's he want to know from you football-wise?
Nothing. He doesn't need to know anything.
He doesn't need to know anything?
No, I think he's got it handled.
But when he had two Super Bowls, maybe he could have learned something from you.
He was on his way. You know, it was one of those things you could tell that, you know, what he was doing and the ability that he had to make the guys around him better. You know, it's kind of what we're talking about with this, with Guinness and the GOAT commercial, is making people around you better. And, you know, he has that ability. Obviously, you can see when he moved down to Tampa. Now, Tampa, yeah, they put up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns last year without him. But, you know, all around, he just makes people better on both sides of the ball. And so I don't think he really needed any guidance at that point.
We look at Brady, maybe we don't look at Brady the way we do LeBron, but like LeBron can't be as great as Michael because Mike won 6 titles and never lost. Whereas LeBron has, I always think we never give credit to the guy who got to the title game, even if he did lose. Like John Elway, it was always held against him. It's like, oh, he got blown out in Super Bowls. He got his team there. And the same with Brady. Like, you get there. And yes, you've won, but you've also lost. And I wonder about that, of how much credit do we give or do we put blame on guys who lose Super Bowls? Do we still do that?
I don't think you put blame on them. I just, for some reason, they get kind of left out of it. Look at Jim Kelly. I mean, look at what he did in Buffalo so many times. And I joke around with him because after they beat us when we were in Kansas City, I go, seriously, you should just let us go. Because you guys are going to go there and lose.
Wait, you said that to Jim Kelly, that you guys are going to go and screw it up?
Yeah, we've been good friends for a long time, so I feel comfortable saying it.
You should have let us go. That's great. We're talking to Joe Montana, joining us courtesy of Guinness. I like the spot. Good acting there.
You know, I think they've done a great job with trying to get a message across to people that, you know, no matter what it is, it's about being resilient and being able to fight and to come back. And there's a greatness inside of all of us. We have to find it in these times. And that, you know, no matter what you say, no matter what happens, you got to realize that, hey, just relax. We got this. We can come back from this. Because, you know, we look at, you sit here and you look at it and you go, okay, let's talk about the greatest player that we haven't seen yet, or the greatest play that hasn't happened. Every time you see a great play, like with Eli, this thing sticks to me, catching the ball in the back of his helmet. There's something else that happens even better than that. And it's here we are, you know, trying to get people to realize that we still haven't seen the greatest year. It's still ahead of us. I mean, can't get any worse than it's been the last one.
Yeah.
And so they're reaching out to people to say, hey, look, find that greatness and let's help the people around us who need help. And in the meantime, they're not pushing Guinness like a normal beer ad would do. And they're talking about being responsible when you do. We've got a big game coming up and enjoy your Guinness, but, you know, let's do it responsibly at the same time. And it's been a great partnership. And, you know, I fell in love with Guinness when girls were jumping horses and we went to Ireland. And, you know, the horse trainer said, let's go get a Guinness. And I was like, okay. And like most people, I was thinking, oh, wow, look at that thing. It's dark and heavy and you can't get it. But when you taste it, it's light and smooth and much different than you expect. And I expected, and I fell in love over there. And so every day after that, I'm going, Charlie, I think it's time to go get a Guinness.
Well, it's like dessert over there.
Oh, no. And then, you know, them getting associated with the Notre Dame alumni and the fans just made a lot of sense to be a part of this as part of their program.
And you have the comeback, I think it's in the Cotton Bowl against Houston and this year's senior year. And I'm wondering if, like, how important was that comeback to maybe how teams viewed you as a quarterback? Because you went in the third round, and I don't know, that was a famous comeback. You were sick at halftime, frigid conditions there, and you somehow had this amazing comeback. I don't know if it had any impact on your draft status.
It's so crazy about the draft, because all those guys, like, a bunch of teams said, well, we're going to take you in the first round, or we're going to take you in the second round. And everything slips by and you're going, oh my God, am I even going to get an opportunity? And that's all I was looking for. It was hard to compete against, you know, what they look for. They're looking for size and strength and arm strength. And I didn't have any of that. And, you know, we're throwing the ball 19, 20 times a game. You know, Jack Thompson coming out the same year was throwing it 50. And it's like, how do you compare those numbers? I always laugh and say, at the combine, they put 225 and see how many times you could bench. I might still be laying there. So I don't know. I think that game was fun. And, you know, I tried to give it away a bunch of times. And it's just like we talk about, you know, you just got to be resilient and keep going and fighting. And no matter how bad it looks, you know, it can get better.
Great to talk to you. Hope you're doing well. And thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Always happy to be here. Good to see you.
Thank you, bud.
Hey, I don't see me up here. You're missing me up there.
I am?
Yeah.
Well, like, this is a home game, but you would have had to have come here.
Take care, man.
All right, bud.
Good to see
you. That's Joe Montana, 4-time Super Bowl champ and 3-time Super Bowl MVP. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Troy Aikman set to join us. What, McLovin?
Oh, just before Troy comes on, I thought we would get ahead and do this day in sports history. So I wanted to look for, I'm looking everywhere.
Okay, wait. Is this going to upset Troy?
No.
Now it feels like this is timed, so I'm going to upset Troy.
No, I just was trying to find a day, this day in sports history, where the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, but I don't. I just have 3 years ago, the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Oh,
so I thought
Philly
that was
special.
Yeah, just to remind him that the Eagles won on this day.
Troy's got 3 rings. He doesn't care.
None were on February 4th.
Let's bring in Troy Aikman here. What worst fan base to deal with based off being a Cowboy quarterback?
McLovin and those Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, that's a pretty good fan base the Eagles have. They're not quite as edgy, I don't think, now that they've won a Super Bowl. But back in my day, they were pretty tough.
But what would they say to you or that you could make out?
Oh, man, they said it all. You know, there for a while, I thought that the Eagles fans really did not want to win a Super Bowl, that they kind of liked the badge, that they could just be bitter and angry and kind of let it rip. But, yeah, they're a loyal group. I mean, they travel well. They're fun. And especially at the Vet, the old stadium where I used to play.
Oh, God, that was a horrible playing surface.
Yeah.
Horrible. Could you leave the state? Could you leave your hotel when you were in Philadelphia?
Well, I never left my hotel no matter where I was. Now, if you ask Michael Irvin, he might have a different answer.
Was there ever a time that you were leaving the hotel and Mike was coming in?
No, I never caught him. I think he had his exit routes and his re-entry routes down pretty good.
Did you ever pull him aside, though, and say, Mike, you know, come on. I mean, you got
to.
No.
No. No. No, and I'll tell you why, Dan. I mean, he made no secrets about it. We'd be at training camp, and he'd be telling me kind of, you know, what he had been doing. And And I had no issue. And we laugh about it. I mean, I think probably the stories are probably a lot more sensational than what they really were. But Michael was the hardest working guy we had on our team. So as long as he was practicing and I didn't notice anything that was taken away from our efforts at practice and then in games, and that was how I felt about everybody. I mean, everybody was free to do whatever they wanted as long as it didn't impact our preparation.
Yeah, but there's that story that Deion Sanders tells.
I know that one.
He first joined the Cowboys, and Michael had a party for him at a hotel room. And Deion walked into the room, and he said, "Mike, I don't live like this." So Deion quickly went out of the room. Yeah. And Mike did back it up, and Mike loved it. I mean, he was like, you know, hey,
I'm sure.
He said, yeah, I'm telling the truth. You got Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith on Dancing with the Stars, so you're the lone holdout with the triplets. Have you been approached to be on Dancing with the Stars?
I have. I've been asked twice. It's been a while, but it's not something, Dan, I even considered. I mean, it's a nice deal for a lot of guys, and a lot of guys have been able to go out and have success on that show. And then, of course, Erin Andrews was one of the hosts of the show and working with her all these years. But, yeah, it's you can't fake that one, Dan. I mean, you got to really put the time in, and I can't dance, and I don't enjoy it. So I don't think there's any part of that that would fit for me.
All right, a couple of things here. Can you tell me what Aaron Rodgers was saying after that loss in the NFC title game?
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I think that maybe the devastation of losing that game kind of put him in a different place, and that's why he responded the way that he did. I wasn't really certain what he was trying to communicate. I do know, Dan, that throughout the season, you know, we had Green Bay a number of times talk to Aaron each time before those games, and he was always in a good place, always liked the situation there at Green Bay, Matt LaFleur and the connection that they had, and the relationship. So I was surprised, but having lost that game before, I know how devastating that can be.
If you were the Texans GM, what approach would you take?
Well, the first thing I would do is make amends with Deshaun Watson. You know, he's just too great of a player and he's a franchise quarterback, and that has to be fixed. And, you know, I don't know all the details to that, but I don't know Deshaun Watson that well, but what I do know of him, he seems like a stand-up guy. I think he's a good person and all that. Sounds like he was told something that they didn't follow through with. So I understand why he might be upset if, in fact, that's true. And I think that they've got to go make sure that relationship is right. They need him in order to be the team they need to be.
And what if it's not fixable?
Well, then they've got to address that. I mean, and who knows? It may not be fixable. And if it's not, then unfortunately for the Texans, I mean, Deshaun Watson's going to be fine wherever he goes if he's not playing in Houston. But for the Houston Texans, then they've got to try to address the quarterback situation. And, you know, to have your guy, to have a franchise quarterback and then all of a sudden be in the market for trying to find another one, a lot of teams out there have shown that that's not easy to do.
What do you think it does to Jared Goff's confidence level that the Rams went all in on him and they go to a Super Bowl and then next thing you know, you fall out of love and they find somebody else. You get kicked to the curb.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting to hear what he feels about it. I don't know if there's a part of him that maybe wanted to leave Los Angeles for whatever reasons. I've been in situations where relationships become a little bit, you know, strained, and maybe a different scene is good for him. But
you still there?
Yeah, someone jumped in here. But are you hearing something?
No, that's.
Anyway, no, I think that for Jared to go from the Rams and then to Detroit, I think it was a pretty good situation for him in Los Angeles. A very quarterback friendly offense. And I don't know that he really knows what he's getting into there in Detroit with the changes with the coaching staff.
Something's a connection's not great, but I want you to get in your plug here with the Frito-Lay commercial that you're doing, the 'Twas the Night Before the Super Bowl. So hopefully the connection will hold out.
Yeah, no, it was a great time, Dan. I shot it with Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and had a lot of fun with it. And Peter Berg, as the director, was fantastic. And Frito-Lay, everybody with the company was terrific. It's probably the most fun I've ever had shooting a commercial, just because of the relationships that I have with those guys and the way that it was pulled together and kind of the tongue-in-cheek humor of it all. I think the people who see the commercial during the Super Bowl, they're going to be really fired up about it. I think it's a really great spot. I thought the one to kick off the season, 'twas the night before kickoff, was great. And this one's pretty special because of all the iconic players that are in it.
Would you ever bet against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl?
No, I would not. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's going to be, I think it every year before these Super Bowl games, but to have a guy, it's hard to imagine anyone surpassing what Tom Brady has accomplished. But if there's anyone who potentially could do that, of course, it's going to take some time. It would be Patrick Mahomes. And I think there's great respect between these two teams and between these two quarterbacks. And it's going to be pretty awesome to see how it shakes out.
But you're a competitor. Is there part of you that says, you know, there are things I do better than Tom Brady? Or if... No,
yeah, I probably could still outrun him. You know, I mean, I do think although I went to Barry's boot camp and I pulled a hamstring a few months ago. So I'm still recovering from that. But even with that being said, I think I could still outrun him.
But no, you're a competitor. Is Brady that much better than you?
Well, I think the proof's in the results. I think that's life, you know. So from that standpoint, yeah, he's twice as good as me.
and maybe even more if he wins on Sunday.
That's right.
Hey, congratulations with the commercial. We look forward to seeing it. Always great to see you. And thanks again for being available for us during the season. We appreciate
Absolutely.
It,
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. You're the best.
That's Troy Aikman. He's a Hall of Famer, NFL and Fox lead color analyst, 3-time Super Bowl champ.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This tweet from Ian Rappaport, the Eagles are getting trade calls centered around Carson Wentz, and while Philly doesn't plan to deal him, they haven't hung up the phones either. Let's bring in Peter Schrager for the NFL Network, Good Morning Football, and FoxSports.com senior national writer. Do you believe that?
I believe it's a combination of things here. They have a new coach, they got a new thing, and sometimes you see reports out there, and Ian's probably spot on. The way it's worded is always interesting. Does that come from other teams saying we're lighting up the phones for Carson Wentz, or does that come from Philadelphia throwing some crumbs out there to the other team saying, hey, maybe you should be calling on this guy? It's always interesting this week when everyone is all eyes on these quarterbacks, when a team comes out of nowhere from left field and says, yeah, we're getting calls too. Are you?
You got the Kings of Leon as your backdrop there on this Zoom call.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you love a band as much as I love the Falwell Brothers, and you guys are talking about the Kings of Leon like they're the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. Come on, guys.
So you had that up before you heard me talking about the Kings of Leon? Is that right?
Yeah. Every day, all day, I've got a Kings of Leon background.
Wait, you're not Kings of Leon fan?
I am. I like true story. I was at a Super Bowl one year in Dallas, and I saw Sam Bradford walk in with the Kings of Leon, and I saw about 500 women, the ages 21 to age 35, just like fall over them. And for a moment there, I was slightly jealous of all four of those guys.
Yeah, but what's Sam Bradford doing with the Kings of Leon?
Oklahoma connection. Oklahoma guys. Sam Bradford, I think, you know, Bradford, not the best NFL career, but he was pretty popular that night.
He got paid. That was when it was, I never understood this, Peter, that you have these rookie contracts where you got all this money up front and you weren't proven. And then they finally realized, boy, this really sounds stupid. We're paying all these guys $35, $40 million signing bonus when they haven't proven. So we've added even more pressure on them when they come in to be great.
I think Bradford was actually the last one to get it, or he's amongst that crew. But there's
Cam Newton, I think, might have been the last. He got like 35
million.
Million.
I remember Jake Locker got a big deal and walked away from the game. And you're like, how could Jake Locker walk away from the game? Is he not loving it? It was like, Jake Locker made $80 million on his rookie contract. Jake Locker's good.
How do the Texans handle this? Can they trade Deshaun Watson?
They can. Absolutely, they can. I've spoken to a lot of people around the league, and to a man, Dan, people are calling the Texans. I mean, teams that you're hearing rumored, they're calling the Texans. and Nick Caserio, the new front office chief and the GM, who signed a very handsome 6-year contract to make him one of the highest paid GMs in the league, is telling teams, like, we're not interested in talking. Like, straight up, like, robotic, we're not talking. So we could speculate all we want. There is a confidence in that building they can make this right. However, from the Watson side, and you hear this from the other teams too, there's a belief that he might take this all the way to training camp and say, I'm not putting that uniform on again until I get traded. Who's got the stomach for this? Is it Watson, where he's going to say, I'm so upset with the franchise that they didn't lean on me for any counsel or guidance or my recommendations on the coach and the GM? Or is it the team side that says, listen, new coach, new GM, let's at least talk this out before we go to those drastic measures? Because you know this, Deshaun Watson, those kind of players don't just show up every other year. That's a franchise player. And no matter who they have at quarterback, it probably won't be as good as that young man.
It was 5 months tomorrow when he signed this contract extension. He was thrilled. He wrote a letter. He thanked the owner. He thanked everybody. He changed my life. Everything's great. And then they had already traded DeAndre Hopkins. So what happened where Deshaun Watson went, I don't want to be here anymore?
Chronologically, I think you nail it, where you say, wait, he already traded. Yeah, because everyone says they traded his best receiver. No. They had already traded his best receiver. That wasn't some shock. The things that I've heard, this is not about Nick Caserio. This isn't even about the trade of Hopkins. This is more about the owner. And Cal McNair and Deshaun Watson apparently had a conversation. And from everything I hear, this conversation was like, you are going to be a very important part of our next hires once Bill O'Brien was fired, whether it be the coach and the GM. Watson's voice might have been out there. He might have said something. He might have suggested names. Those names were not brought in for interviews. They hired Nick Caserio without asking Deshaun Watson's approval, which I think historically would never ask a player's approval on the GM. And then with the coaches, no Robert Saleh interview, a few other names weren't interviewed, and they didn't even get him in the door. And from another team, Dan, I thought this was interesting. In another year, you might say, okay, well, come on, Deshaun, like, whatever. Do you know how easy it is to just interview the guys he recommended and do it on Zoom?
Yeah.
It's a 2-hour Zoom. 2 hours, you check the box, even if you have no interest in what he says. If you told him you were going to listen to him and he said, hey, you got to interview Robert Saleh, and that's just an example of a name. 2 hours on Zoom with Robert Saleh might have been a waste of Saleh's time, but what's the expense? Just do it. They didn't do it.
First of all, they never should have given him that power, because all these marquee quarterbacks don't have that power, and you're going to give it to Deshaun Watson. He's got a no-trade clause. Like, the Texans created this, and then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, what happened here? This house is on fire. Well, you helped start the fire there, and now Deshaun Watson wants to run out of a burning building.
And I mean, look, again, the verbiage. We're talking about Ian's report about Wentz. You go to with Watson's, it's he's requesting a trade. And the next day I came out and I got some slack from people, because I was like, is he requesting a trade or demanding a trade? Because are you requesting a divorce? That doesn't have the same impact as I'm demanding a divorce. So what happens with Watson over the next few months will be interesting, because once free agency is over, once the draft is over, their options get really limited. Then it's, does this guy have the stomach? Because there's a new CBA, and in the new CBA, they can fine you all they want for missed practices. You don't get that money back. You can't get that money back. That's part of the new CBA. So he could be fined up to $2 million if he doesn't show up. And contractually, he's there not only for this huge extension, but for 3 years of the franchise tag too. Does he have the stomach to really ride this out?
Peter Schrager is host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, which airs Monday through Friday. They start at 7 Eastern. And NFL Network providing more than 70 hours of live Super Bowl coverage, including 8.5-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning. Good God. Super Bowl Sunday at 9 Eastern with our buddy Rich Eisen. There hasn't been a buzz about this, and I don't know how much of this is that the media is not there, Peter. But if we were there, because the storylines, if we look at them, don't really have to do with the Super Bowl as much as they do. Scotty Miller says he's the fastest player in the NFL. Whoa! We broke that story, by the way.
We played the clip. Yep.
You have Deshaun Watson drama, Carson Wentz situation, a coach gets hired, Eric Bieniemy does not, Brady, Belichick. So the game itself, even though it's about Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and if Brady wins one more, then Mahomes will never catch him. And if he has his second Super Bowl, he's going to catch him. Where is the buzz on this game for a game that should be great, but it doesn't feel like it's there?
It's so true you say that. And, you know, we're on the NFL Network 3 hours every morning, and I feel it. We're not there. So the buzz, usually you have the wall-to-wall coverage, and there's the scenics of Tampa, and everyone's walking around. It's not there, and that is because of the pandemic, 100% because of the pandemic. That doesn't feel like we're getting the same buzz, because this game is awesome. It has every storyline we could have ever wanted. I mean, we turned Tom Brady and Jared Goff into a Super Bowl bonanza. We could certainly turn Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. There's two amazing storylines here. It's Mahomes and the Chiefs going for back-to-back, which hasn't been done since 03-04. And then it's Brady. Brady is such an amazing story to do this in first year. But to your point, I wonder if it's more hypothetical right now with what will this mean legacy-wise? What does this do for the great debate at the bar 5 years from now? How do we look back on this Super Bowl as far as if it was a passing of the torch or if Brady stiff-arming Mahomes? But right now, like today on the show, I'll be candid with you. I was talking about the offensive line injuries from the Chiefs and how Remmers is in, and now you're doing with Andrew Wiley, right? And like, I'm getting bored of myself talking about offensive line play, and I can sense it. And I think it's just going to have to be one of those deals where we're not there on the ground, but come Sunday and you see JPP and Shaq Barrett blowing up Patrick Mahomes, and you're saying, wow, we got a game here. And Brady's got the ball in the fourth quarter. We got a game here. The hype might not be there, but this game is going to deliver.
Would you rather have Brady's career or what Mahomes' career could possibly be?
That's why you're the best. That's a great question. Like, you're taking the unknown, which is on this incredible torrid pace, or what we do know, and it's still kind of going. I would take Brady because of the accomplishments over the great, great time span. I don't know what happens to Mahomes 10 years down the road, but I'd be hard-pressed to think he's going to do 7 Super Bowls and 14 AFC or NFC championship games in 20 years.
I'm going to remind you of this question in like 10 years from now.
I know. Let's just hope the two of us are doing the same exact thing in 10 years.
The Rams-Lions trade. We had Aaron Donald on, and in fact, we're going to play that interview coming up a little bit, but he said he was shocked that, should he have been shocked that the Rams sent Jared Goff to the Lions and they got Matthew Stafford?
I've got to be careful here because I've got relationships on both sides. I'll just say it now. We're 5 days removed. McVay was over Goff. It was done.
But like when did that happen, Peter? Was it after the Niners game?
No, it happened this year. It wasn't necessarily all Jared's doing. Like this, I think the defense being the leader in this thing, McVay not being able to do the same things that LaFleur was able to do with Rodgers and what he's watching other teams do. And nothing against Jared. Personally, Jared Goff went 21-26, threw a touchdown pass in Lambeau Field with 9 fingers. I thought that was pretty good and pretty tough. But once they got to this point, it was either, do we try to rebuild this thing or do we just move on for both of us? And McVay wanted to move on. And once Stafford came into his life, and when I say came into his life, it meant the thought of Stafford and the wonder of what he can do with his arm strength and how smart and how cerebral, it was over. And McVay made the call. And it's a business. And I think Sean is going to be respectful to Jared, and he'll also be unapologetic that he believes that this team had run its course with Jared Goff and he wanted Matt Stafford. Goff can make him look foolish. If Goff goes on to have this incredible career in Detroit or even anywhere else he ends up, he can make McVay look wrong. But as someone from the Rams side told me, are we living or are we existing? They want to live.
Is Stafford that much of an upgrade over Goff?
Not my decision. They think so.
No, but I'm curious if you think so.
I don't think he's a huge upgrade, but I think for what they've been through over the last few years with for Sean and Jared to come to this point, of course it's an upgrade. But as far as objectively, who do I want as my quarterback? A 25-year-old guy who's been to a Super Bowl or a 33-year-old guy coming off injuries who's never won a playoff game? You can make the argument for the former.
Yeah, I think Detroit did well in this deal, Pete. I really do. Stafford wanted to get a soft landing. They wanted to trade him. Okay, how many places can we send you to? Felt like it was going to be the Niners or it was going to be the Rams. And I thought that you got a guy who can potentially be a franchise quarterback already under contract, and you got some draft picks here. So I thought Detroit did okay.
They did all right. Here's the rub on it. Carolina offered a really good package, including a top 10 pick. And from what I'm hearing, they threw Teddy Bridgewater's name in there, a future first-round pick. And people around the league are like, how do you not take Carolina's offer? Because then if you take Carolina's offer, you get the 7th overall pick, which is the Lions pick, the 8th overall pick, which is the Panthers pick. You get Teddy Bridgewater to be your bridge quarterback. And the Lions folks would tell you, we like Jared Goff, believe it or not, guys. Hello, like Jared Goff was a piece of this trade, and to take on Jared Goff and then also get two first round picks, that's a bonanza if you actually believe in Jared Goff, which they say they do.
I'll end with this. The haircut story with the Chiefs felt like it was, if I'm going to have an Onion headline, and, you know, close shave, Chiefs, you know, get caught with a barber with COVID. Like, the fact, imagine if Patrick Mahomes is in the chair, because I'm surprised he wasn't at the front of the line. Hey, Patrick, you go in, you got other meetings here. If Patrick Mahomes is in the chair, he's not practicing this week.
It's incredible. And it's like Daniel Kilgore is a backup center slash guard. So everyone makes a joke and it's like, ah, Kilgore. If Mahomes gets in that chair, he's out every day of practice with an offensive line he's not exactly familiar with, and it's a huge storyline, but it is 2020 summed up. And Adam Schefter sending four tweets out about a barber on the day, I mean, it just tells you where we're at these days. And I love Schefty, and it just shows you, and the guy only delivers just news and pearls, and that's what we were tweeting about this week. That's 2021 in a nutshell.
And your pick is?
Chiefs.
All right. I mean, was that a confident Chiefs or just?
No. On paper, with the barber story, with the offensive line, with the game being played in Tampa, with Brady on the other sideline, with that defensive line, it's very easy to want to take the Bucs, but I can't pick against Mahomes.
I can't pick against Brady. Like, I'd never bet against him. I would, until I see it.
We've seen it. He lost three Super Bowls.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't blame him against Philadelphia.
No,
he threw for 500 yards and they didn't even punt. Yeah. Like, you know, that's on Belichick. But, you know, the game against the Giants in both of those games, you know, the defensive line just pounded him. And if the Chiefs are able to do that, then the Chiefs are going to win this game. But
on the same token, though, it's like Mahomes, so many games this year were close. And then on 3rd and 6, we'll hit Tyreek for 7 yards and put the game away. In all of my years covering the sport, this guy Mahomes finds a way in every single game to get the W at the end. I can't pick against him here.
Yeah, but it's weird how they get bored or they need degree of difficulty, Peter.
Like, yeah, they've won 25 of 26 games with him. However it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Hey, great to talk to you. And thanks again.
Thanks to Leon.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. That's Peter Schrager. He's a popular member of that Good Morning Football team. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Aaron Donald, we talked to him yesterday around 3 o'clock Eastern time. We stayed to be able to do the interview, and we were the first one to interview him. And we sent out some of the clips that you'll hear or you might have already heard yesterday. And that had to do with the Goff Stafford trade. And so we'll play the entire interview for you. And I start out by asking Aaron Donald if he wants to get the Goff and Stafford question out of the way, or if he wants to wait till the end of the interview.
We can wait till the end.
Are you already tired of talking about it?
I haven't talked to this. This is the first time I'm even going to speak out about anything. So I ain't really speak about it, just with the family and little conversations I had to the side. But that's about it.
Okay, why don't we knock it out first, and then you can say to people, hey, I've already talked about it to Dan Patrick. I don't need to talk to anybody else about it, okay? Your reaction when you heard that Jared was going to Detroit and Matthew Stafford was coming to L.A.?
I'm pretty sure everybody was shocked with it, but you know, Stafford's a great quarterback. I'm excited about having him with the team, a veteran guy that know the game, have been playing the game at a high level for a long time. You know, it was a business decision that the Rams organization chose to make. You know, I will always love Goff. You know, that's my brother forever. But you know, I guess things didn't work out how they wanted to, so they made a change. So,
have you sacked Stafford?
Yeah, 6 times in my career.
Somehow you had that stat ready there, Aaron.
Yeah, I already told him. I said, that's for you. I played him 2 times, and I sacked him 3. Each time I played him, I sacked him 3 times each game. So, you know.
But here's the problem, Aaron. You want him to stay in Detroit so you can sack him more. Now he's going to be your teammate.
Yeah, no, it's fine. He's going to make so he's going to help us win some games. So I'm pumped up about that.
Give me the most unfair criticism of Jared Goff.
I think there's a lot of things that were said, you know, but, you know, once you're a starting quarterback, you know, if things ain't going how it's supposed to go, it's always going to be, you know, you're going to be talked about a lot, you know. I would never say nothing bad about Goff. Like I said, that's my brother, you know, always going to keep in contact with him. Always going to talk. I wish nothing but the best for him in Detroit. So, you know, we ain't going to worry about, you know, the negativity that's talking about, you know, he got a bright future ahead of him, a fresh start, and hopefully he do great things there. So.
How much do you play, or the style of play deals with the chip that might be still on your shoulder? You know, Tom Brady still talks about being drafted in the sixth round. Drew Brees, you know, that he was too short to make the NFL. Like, guys carry that, but I don't. Can you carry it into a game? Do you have a chip on your shoulder when you play?
I've been asked that question a lot, you know, in my, you know, career playing football, just because, you know, I had a lot of negative talk about just my size and things, and teams not knowing if I was going to hold up and be able to play at a high level in this league. So to me, if anything, it kind of motivated me, because I felt like I didn't do enough to put it on film to show the world that I can play this game at a high level, don't matter the size I am. You know, did it get me mad? No. Did it motivate me? You could say yes about that. You know, it just made me work harder, because I felt like, you know, maybe I ain't showing them enough yet. Maybe, you know, I need to do that much more to show the world what I'm about, what I can do. And, you know, that's what I do. You know, that's why I work the way I work. That's why, you know, I put the body of work in how I do every single offseason, prepare myself to, you know, be successful and help my team to win games. So I'm going to continue to do that as long as I play this game. So.
Do you know the name of the offensive lineman that you face every game?
Not every game. I know their numbers. I'm not. I don't really care for their names. I just know the guy's jersey number I'm going to get. But that's it.
Are you friendly with any offensive linemen?
Not at all. None.
None.
You know, that's the guys that are trying to stop me from doing my job. So I can't be friends with no guys that are trying to prevent me from, you know, doing what I got to do to provide for my family. So on the field, it's really no friendships. It's just, you know, they're the enemy.
Well, what about post-game hug, when you could do hugs?
Oh, ain't no hug, probably high five or something. But I really, honestly, I know a couple offensive linemen personally, but I really don't have too many relationship with offensive linemen. So
what about quarterbacks? You okay with quarterbacks?
No, but you know, anybody I got to go against, or, you know, that's trying to, you know, prevent me from doing what I need to do, you know, so I ain't too friendly with them. But during the game, you know, it ain't in me, but, you know, after the game, might, you know, shake a hand or say what's up. That's about it.
Anybody talk trash to you?
Yeah, there's some players talk trash this year, try to say some things here and there, but, you know, it's a part of the game.
Well, give me an idea. You don't have to give me a name, but give me an idea. What do they say to Aaron Donald? What could you say to Aaron Donald?
It's a lot of trash talking in football. A lot of things that can't be spoke out loud, you know. But, you know, can't say exactly what it was. But this thing said, and things will be said back, and then, you know, actions will be handled from there on the football field. So we handled it the right way.
When's the last time you were in a fight off the field?
I ain't been in a fight since I was a kid, man. I'm too old to get in fights. Now you fight now, you go to jail. So I keep myself out of trouble.
What was your career record as a kid in fighting?
I'm undefeated. I never lose any fights. And if they was too old and too big for me, I got my big brother to handle it for me. So I ain't never lost no fight. I lost a fight to my big brother, but that don't count. So
why did the Packers loss affect you so much?
Honestly, it was just I felt down just because I wasn't able to play how I needed to play. You know, I had an injury that kind of, you know, prevented me from being who I am. And I wasn't able to do much, you know, playing through pain and things like that. No excuses, but, you know, it was just tough. I felt like I let my team down. When they needed me the most, I couldn't be there for them, you know. So it was just that's what hurt me the most, you know, because I felt like, you know, you work your butt off to play at this position and do a lot to, you know, to have opportunity to, you know, play in big games like that. And I get to that point and I got to try to fight through an injury and not be able to help my guys how they needed me that day. You know, I was just down about that. So,
well, it's tough enough to be chasing Aaron Rodgers when you're healthy.
Yeah, it's fine, man. That's why He had a great year, a lot of respect for him, but, you know, it is what it is.
What's your, I'm bumming you out here. I have to cheer you up, right?
No, we fine.
Okay, all right, I know.
We're ready, you know, new sports drink out, so we pumped up about that.
If I drink it, will I play like you?
It give you wings, how about that? But no, it's a great, you know, it's something that I became a partner with, a drink that this new sports drink is what we just dropped. You know, it's amazing. It tastes good. I feel like that's what it start with, but not just tasting good, what you consume is good for your body, and what you take it in good. You know, you got the super fruit blend, you know, that help with recovery, you know, fight inflammation, things that you need to make sure that your body is fine as far as I'm recovering quicker, you know, as going into my eighth year. A lot of things that I learned about, you know, recovery and things like that is what you consume, what you put into your body, a lot of that go into what you're drinking, when you're working out, when you're training, when you're practicing, and ready is that thing for me, you know. So not just being able to, you know, be a part of it, but be part owner of it, it's huge. So I've been loving the opportunity, and we just dropped this great sports drink, and we pumped up about it.
Well, Greek Freak's involved in this too, right?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How do you think he'd do in the NFL?
I think he'd do good. He's a big guy, athletic guy. I think he'd have some success.
I don't know. Like, I could see LeBron as a tight end.
Okay.
Do you think LeBron could do okay?
He got the size and the athletic ability. You know, I think if he practiced it just like he practiced football, I mean basketball, yeah, I think he can translate that to the NFL.
Now, how would you do in basketball?
If I practice it good enough, I think I'll be good. If I took it as serious as I took football, you know, I think you could.
I don't know. There aren't too many 6 foot, 300 pound point guards here, Aaron. Like,
obviously my body will have to change and things like that.
Yeah, a whole lot.
That's obvious. But, you know, if anything you work hard enough for, you can, you know, accomplish some crazy things if you put the body working. So,
well, wait a minute. Who plays basketball the way you did in high school?
I don't know.
And don't say Allen Iverson or somebody like that.
No, I'm a big body guy. I'm more dominant. So I would say like a guy like Shaq, you know, a great like Shaq. Oh. like to bully people a lot and do a lot of things like that. So,
But you know, guys in the NFL will say Shaq would get destroyed in the NFL because it's all about getting low. It's about getting leverage. He's too tall. Do you think Shaq would?
Again, if you think about, you know, if he, the way he took basketball, if he was took football the same way, you know, that was switching. It would translate different. So.
I don't know. He's too big. No leverage there, Aaron. That's why you're so great. You got leverage, man. Every play, you got leverage. Hey, good luck. I got to get back to benching. And good luck with Reddy. And congratulations on the success so far.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
That's Aaron Donald of my LA Rams.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.